Yeah, at some point, you know, we also want to start families, you know, those things. Eh? Unfortunately, activism doesn't pay.
Exactly.
That's the most unfortunate thing. Then people look up to you and they think, oh, this guy, he's educated.
Mm-hmm.
What does he bring forth to the table apart from being an activist?
This is the Rise and Index podcast, speaking to change makers who are changing the world, one community at a time.
Hi there, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Rise and Impact Podcast. So today's episode is actually very, very much interesting because we are going to delve into a very important topic of youth productivity and development beyond advocacy and activism. So we actually have this trend of young people where we focus more or we put more, like we have a trend, this trend of us becoming advocate, becoming activist, and then neglecting our lives, like neglecting our, when it comes to our personal development, your career choices, your, you know, your personal relationships and all that. And then sometimes you just find yourself even at the age of 40 and then you realize, I actually haven't achieved anything.
Yes.
I haven't managed to finish my school. I haven't managed to just to do anything of my, you know, and you become frustrated and all that. So, and then we actually, and I'm so excited to actually have you here because you are actually somebody who has experience within like the civil society
space
and then as well in your career, you are a researcher by profession, a journalist.
Journalist professionally, and then my occupation, I'm a researcher.
A researcher, that is the thing. So so thank you so much for actually coming. I think I will just give you an opportunity to actually introduce yourself to,
Thank you so much for the platform, Elizabeth. I'm so happy that we could do this today.
Yeah.
And I'm also very excited. So firstly, my name is Hiskia. My surname is Nashuta. I'm 33 years of age. It was just my birthday last week, the 26th of March. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was my birthday.
26th of March.
Yes.
Okay. Happy late birthday.
Yes, thank you so much. So I'm originally from Rehoboth, but currently our family home is located in Otapi, in the Masate region. Yes. Okay. I'm actually mixed. Mm. My dad is Oshivambo and my mom is Nama.
Actually, I always get confused.
Yeah, yeah. People think I'm plain Damara.
Yeah.
But no, I'm mixed, hence my surname Nashuta.
Yeah.
So professionally, I studied media studies, but what I did is I specialized in public relations and advertising at the University of Namibia. And plans are still there to pursue my master's next year, hopefully.
Okay.
I'll complete my master's degree, also in media studies at UNAM.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my goals. So basically, who I am, I'm young, I'm driven, you know, passionate about civil society, passionate about governance issues, love radio, I love media. So that's me, basically, in a nutshell.
Oh, that's actually interesting. You know, something that I, like, ever since I've known you, I never knew, I didn't know that you did, that you actually, in, like, you did journalism.
Yes,
and you were a radio presenter as well.
Yes, I was.
That was, like, something that was new to me and very interesting, actually.
Yeah.
So, like, you, like, your passion, like, your passion and experience as well actually lies within the civil society. Like,
yes.
Organization, and that's like proof is there.
Yes.
And so could you just share with us a little bit how, like, what really sparked that passion of you to be involved or that really influenced you to take the career path that you take
in civil society?
Yeah, in civil society.
So if I have to go down memory lane, about say 9-10 years ago, when I went to Rehoboth, I stumbled across a community radio station. It's called Radio Life FM, but it no longer exists, sorry. So after that, I started volunteering at the radio station, being a community journalist, you know. And after that, there was a program established by the Konrad Adenauer Stiftung Foundation.
Yeah.
The program was called Empowering Civil Society Organizations.
Yeah.
And the radio station where I was volunteering at was selected to be part of that specific program by CAS. So we received a 4-year training from CAS, how to establish a CSO, how to run a CSO, what's needed for an effective CSO, how you can lobby for change in your communities. So that program was really impactful in such a way. And while attending that program, I realized that No, I think I love this. I love doing community work. Mm. I love volunteerism. You know, I love bringing change in communities that I do. But the only difference back then, when I was working at the radio station, was I was a voice for the community, because it was a community radio station. We had to focus on community issues, you know, lack of service delivery from local authority, the town council, etc. So in a nutshell, I fell in love with civil society organizations. And fast forward, after completing the training by CAST, we were together at CASTER, and I met incredible people like you that are also passionate about, you are passionate about, you know, giving people a platform so that people can tell their stories, etc., etc. So that's where my love for civil society organizations actually started. Yeah,
and that training, like, it's, and I think we, like, as a country, we lack that platform where civil society can actually be able to go and kind of like be trained because I think one thing is that we just we are passionate, we discovered okay, I'm passionate about advocating for what, I started a non-profit organization to actually serve my community. We just do one project and then the organization dies.
Exactly.
Because we don't even know like what road to follow, what to do, who to go to ask for advice, or just to kind of, you know, give us those things.
And the common perception that exists in our country is that, you know, people run civil society organizations the way they think should be run.
Yeah.
But we don't understand that civil society organizations, as much as it's a organization for the community, by the community, it needs to have proper procedures and policies, a proper operational structure in place, so that that organization can then succeed. But you know what? CSOs depend on donor funding.
Yeah.
And the donors want to see some sort of structure when you have a CSO.
Yeah.
Do you have an office building? Do you have an organizational structure? Is your CSO registered? All those things play a very important role. So I think the training did such a brilliant job in equipping people like me, people like you also, through CASTEP, to know how to properly run and how to properly structure CSO.
That's so true. That is like so true, because people obviously want to know where they are. They want to trust where their money is going, and they want to know how their money or their funds are actually going to be utilized and who is going to benefit and all that.
So
we just think of like, we just want to serve the people.
And receive the money.
And everybody must come and support because we are serving the community and all that.
That's the misconception.
And like for you, you spoke of volunteerism. And it's really like at the core of your values as well.
Indeed.
So how can like young people benefit? Like is volunteerism beneficial for young people, especially in today's world? Like can we benefit? Can we gain any skills or anything from it?
Indeed, Elizabeth, volunteerism is extremely important because number one, what you get from volunteerism is you obtain the necessary skills and experience in working in an organization. And I think CSOs are perfect places where young people can actually start volunteering because they can just take you in, they coach you how to do proper structures and proper things. You learn so much from, for instance, you can learn how to work with people, you know, people's skills. You can learn how to do a basic administrative work, basic financial work, how to type letters. And especially, you know, I always tell young people that are doing a grade 10 or grade 12 or 11, when it's time for holidays or vacations, go and volunteer at any organization, or even get yourself a holiday job.
Yeah.
But importantly, volunteerism is very, very important because it equips you. You know, for the future.
That is very true. And I can actually, and I lived for that, because when I finished grade 12, I was actually struggling. I didn't manage to go to university. So I was like, okay, I found myself in window and I don't know anyone. I don't have any skills on my name or any experience. And obviously, and I was told like, for you to make it in this life, you need to know people. People must know you to be able to open doors for you. So I ended up, I think my first volunteerism was like, volunteering for a marketing agency, communication agency, and I had zero skills. And I just, they were looking for a social media manager and expert. And I wrote them like a letter, like, please just allow me. I can work without being paid. I just want to gain experience. And I ended up actually volunteering, like just working there without being paid, like for almost a whole year. So what I do is that I do people's hair during the weekends and then get taxi money to actually go to
Your commitment was there, like top tier. So, you're really committed. Yeah,
and I really like gained a lot, and I met people through the organization, through that company as well, and all this. So it was really, and as well, volunteerism within nonprofit organization. That's where I met you guys, and as well. So it's really, really,
really important. Mm-hmm. And another key important point, I think sometimes as family members, especially as parents, we don't understand when our kids go and volunteer at different civic organizations. Mm-hmm. Because the first thing is, are you getting paid?
Yeah.
Who can work for Mahala and those things, you know?
That's so
family don't understand. And if they don't understand, then they will not support the kids doing volunteerism. So it's also a very important message and a learning key point for family members, parents, to allow the kids to volunteer. Kids are still young. They don't need to make money. What you are doing and what you need to understand as a parent is that you're actually giving a platform for your kid to prepare him or herself for employment in the next 10 to 5, 6, 7 years, you understand?
That's very cool.
So family should really, really stand out there and support your kids volunteering.
That's very true. That is so true. Coming now to your occupation.
Yes, yes.
You are now a parliamentary researcher.
Yes.
So can you just maybe share with us like some insights on how research can shape a country's development agenda and how we can as well integrate this research into the parliamentary work?
Okay. Research, you know, key research is extremely important because now it's only through research that you will know what the people in, for instance, Omasati need. Only through research that you will know how many people are in the Kavango West region. Only through research you will know what are the causes of GBV in our country. So what research does is it informs our developmental plans. So when government draws up his or plans, for instance, certain ministries, Ministry of Gender, they don't just sit there and draw up the plans out of the blue. But what informs them is that research informs them that these are the root causes of GBV. We need to work on ABCD, whatnot. So research is important because it informs the country, it guides the country, and it also makes the plans and the goals of the country realistic. If you want to spend $5 million, for instance, in the Omasati region, on what basis are you going to spend the $5 million? What practical steps are you going to take to ensure that every citizen benefits from that $5 million? So research pinpoints the nitty-gritty that is needed for developmental aspects in our country. And how do I integrate research in my professional work? What I do is we work on different policies, different motions that we need to come up for the members of parliament, and then look around, okay, does this motion make sense? But in this country, something similar was introduced. But it never stopped the problem of GBV. Okay, can we perhaps probably twist it a little bit so that we make it relevant to Namibia or contextualize it to a Namibian perspective? So research informs my work in terms of I need to come up with practical and very clear directives in terms of how I need to write my papers for the members of parliament that I work with. Also research nationally, I need to look around, especially in social media and credible media such as newspapers, TV and radio stations. What are the challenges that Namibians face on a daily basis? If there's a water crisis in the GAM area, I need to pick it up as a researcher and bring it forth to the members of parliament so that it can be asked in parliament, and hopefully the responsible minister will address that issue as fast as possible. Okay. If there's an issue happening in Osingar, if there's an issue happening in Rewa, I need to pick it up as a researcher and bring it to the members of parliament. That is very, very key. So that is my eyes. I'm basically the eyes and the ears of the members of parliament.
Okay.
Specifically the PDM members of parliament. Yes.
So it depends on what political party you are working with.
Exactly. And mainly researchers are mainly important for the opposition side. Because the opposition side in parliament, they are the ones that hold the government accountable. They are the ones that criticize and question the government. Because the government, the ruling party, they cannot question themselves, obviously. You understand? So the opposition plays a very key role in checks and balances of our democracy and holding government to account, making sure that our national resources and also our finances are spent for the benefit of every Namibian.
Okay.
research and my work in a nutshell.
That's actually very, like, very interesting. Yeah. So, like, the parliamentary, the MPs, they don't just bring forward a motion without being, like, on their own.
They can do it, but it's my job to verify, do background checks and see, okay, does it make sense? Oh, okay, no, practically it doesn't make sense. Because now, if you only want to empower the girl child, what about the boy child, you understand? So the MPs can also bring their inputs and also give it to me so we verify, we strengthen it. You know, states, etc. Then we take it up into the house.
Nah.
Yes.
Okay, that's quite interesting. And I didn't know that. I thought, you know, you just do your own research as an MP or something like that, and then you just do
We work for the MPs. We work for the PM MPs, yes.
Yeah, and it's actually good that, okay, so, like, what advice would you have, like, for young people that are interested in taking the same career path that you took, especially maybe that are those that are interested in advocacy and activism, or maybe in just civil society work?
You know, sometimes the most important thing is that you need to understand that you will not find something you love immediately. You have to try a bunch of several things, and then maybe only then you'll discover, no, this is what I really actually wanted to do. But also bringing it back, the key point is start volunteering and start gaining skills. And while you're volunteering, make sure that you network also. Because you cannot just volunteer, and after volunteering, you walk away with no contacts, no networks. You need to refer back to individuals, refer back to organizations that have similar objectives or similar goals, or that work on similar projects that you are passionate about.
Yeah.
Contact them after volunteering and see how you can then assist, you know, in bringing those agendas or those individuals or organizations to the forefront. But the most important thing is, with me, I initially thought, you know, I love radio. I still do.
Okay.
I still do.
Yeah.
But then later on, you know, attending the CASTE program
and
various training opportunities by the Cornell Academy stuff thing, I realized that, no, man, I actually have a thing for, you know, civic education, governance issues, politics, and, you know, the whole thing about national discourse. Yeah. So I'm really in love with, you know, what I do now.
Okay.
But I also love, so I am basically cheating on my love for radio with my love for research work in governance and politics. Yeah. Yeah, so the key point is, you know, try and figure out what you really want to do as a young person. You know, sometimes as a young person, you know, there's so many limited opportunities for young people in. And I know young people are frustrated. I know our parents are frustrated.
Yeah.
If you tell your parent now, I can't volunteer, they will not understand that you're going to volunteer. Because at the end of the day, you need some sort of income.
Yeah.
You know, for your household, you are a grown man, you cannot just volunteer, but just try and do your level best, volunteer, build networks, and see how you can then, because people will actually see and notice you. Oh, his kid is doing ABCD, and I spoke of networking, you know, earlier on. His kid is doing ABCD, then people can actually contact you and provide you a temporary employment opportunity or even a permanent opportunity. So you never know where your passion may lie, but the key thing for young activists and young people that are passionate about advocacy is make sure that you always balance what you do for passion and also what you do for personal gain in terms of getting an income.
That is quite, that's very true. That is so much true. And that's because I think, you know, when we, like, when we speak of, like, advocacy or being involved in civil society organization, because you won't actually know what you love and what you want to do if you don't do anything. So by doing it, by you actually being involving yourself in something like what you're saying, when you will actually notice, or when you realize, I actually love this one more than the other thing.
And don't just limit yourself as a young person. You know, branch out to different opportunities and different platforms that are there. Because the more you branch out, firstly, you get so much knowledge, you get so many skills, you know, you get to build so many networks and contacts. So don't just limit yourself. You know, there are people that just want to be, no, I'm an accounting person, accounting graduate, and and right now I'm unemployed, I just want to volunteer, maybe accounting related stuff. You understand, don't just limit yourself. You know, No, branch out, branch
exactly
out.
Because these things, like most of the things, they actually like kind of interconnect.
Exactly.
Yeah, like in every, almost in every sector, you will find an accountant. Even in the entertainment, even in
work, even in the NGO,
even in NGOs, exactly. And all that. So you won't actually know where your passion actually lies unless you try out. And I think one thing about us young people is that we are very, I don't know if we are impatient, not like
impatient.
Impatient.
Yeah.
And we just want to figure out something right now.
Right now.
And,
yeah, we want the solution right now.
Right now, right now. I want to be a doctor. I want to be like
right now.
Yeah, right now.
And, you know, life is a journey. Your life is a journey. And, you know, from a religious perspective, you know, they say God's time is the right time. So whether you think that you deserve that opportunity right now, if it's not meant for you, it will not come to you.
That's very
you understand?
True.
So be patient, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what, like you said, you know, we don't have patience as young people. And I think that's very important. Sometimes, you know, in the workplace as well, you feel that you want to be promoted. You feel you deserve that position. But you feel that. But when the way other people perceive and see you, they may see you as, no, man, he's still not ready yet for that. You may think that you're ready, but he's still, can you maybe just wait? And that's why mentors and, you know, guidance are very important when that it comes to those issues.
That is so true. Okay, based on your work now, your occupation, being a researcher, like what are some of the pressing issues that you have discovered that are kind of like, you know, for Namibian youth, that, and how can maybe they be kind of like addressed?
The biggest one is the high unemployment rate, youth unemployment rate to be specific, you know, the PDM, which is the official opposition, they brought that motion in parliament, the motion was adopted. So right now, I believe they are busy with, you know, doing research and public hearings on unemployment. But then it's up to government to make sure that they implement measures to address the high unemployment rate, you know, in our country. That is the most pressing issue right now, you know.
Yeah.
Because you cannot go out there and motivate and inspire the youth on a hungry time, you know. They are unemployed, they have no opportunities. So right now, the most important pressing issue is the high unemployment rate of the youth.
And that's very true. And I see that PDM is really like on,
you know,
pushing the agenda. And all that. So yeah, coming now to the main discussion of today, of why we as young people, we kind of gravitate from our personal development more into advocacy and activism and all that. So like, why do you think we as young people, we kind of tend to neglect our professional life or our personal relationship or personal development and gravitate more on just being an advocate or an activism from your experience?
Because that's what I was also in that situation a couple of years when I was a volunteer for about 6-7 years at that community radio station. So I was just volunteering, and then I was thinking, no, man. Because when you advocate, right, when you're at the forefront, so many people look up to you. And not just so many people, specifically so many young people look up to you when you are an activist and when you are advocating, you know, for the rights of the marginalized or whatsoever issue it may be. Then people look up to you and they think, oh, this guy, he's educated. What does he bring forth to the table apart from being an activist? And then your activism should be informed by your level of education. That's what I believe personally. You understand? Because unfortunately, you know, education plays a very important role in shaping, you know, the way we think, the way we compensate with other people, the way we associate ourselves with other people.
Yeah.
And then I realized, no, man, let me enroll, you know, get a degree. So what happens is when you empower yourself as an individual and focus on your personal goals, you're not neglecting, you know, your activism for that matter. What you're doing is you're actually empowering the two by leveling up the two. So what you do is, or what happens is when you're educated, you think in a certain way, you start to understand the processes, the institutions that exist in the country, such as Namibia, with an education. So now, being an educated individual, you will start doing activism totally different and much more in a better way, in an informed way, you understand. So as much as young people have are passionate about being an activist and advocating for people's rights, don't neglect your personal goals. Because I always say, at the end of the day, when you go to bed at night, reflect on what makes you happy the most. And if your personal circumstances are not that good at home, you'll not be happy. You also, unfortunately, you need to bring some sort of income back home. You understand? Unfortunately, our parents, you know how our parents are, African parents. They need to see an income. So balance the two so that you also fulfill your personal and family roles. And while doing that, you can also to act. You know, activism cannot be, it can be a full-time job for, depends where you are located. You understand? You cannot wake up every morning and go protest. You cannot wake up every morning petition. You cannot wake up every morning. You understand? I feel it cannot be a full-time job. You understand?
Exactly.
It cannot be. So it's sort of balanced too.
That's actually very true. And I think, like, I as well, like, found myself in, like, in that situation. And I think I was lucky enough to kind of, like, have people that will tell you, okay, okay, you are doing this. It's great. It's good to be on the forefront of doing something, but as well you have your life as well.
Exactly.
And you, these people are not going to look up to you for the rest of their life, or you are going to lose the value at some time.
Exactly.
At some point in your life and all that.
Oh, maybe, sorry to interrupt you, maybe the issues can change.
Yeah, exactly.
Issues. So the same advocacy, or the same, sorry, the same issue that you were advocating for.
Yeah.
For instance, GBV, what if the situation of GBV improves in a certain area or in that country? So now you need to divert to another issue. And you need to understand that issue as well. That's why I spoke of education. It makes you think in a certain way and makes you look at an issue in a totally different way.
That's very true.
Yeah.
That is very true. And I think that is actually the trap that we, as many young people, are kind of like falling into recently. Yeah. Just being an activist, just being an advocate, and you neglecting your professional life or your career goals or whatever that is that you want to do. And but then I think there as well some, especially in Namibia, we have some examples of young people that really are on the forefront of being of you know, being the voice to the voiceless.
Yes.
But they are as well very, they have their lives together.
Exactly.
They are not neglecting their
exactly.
lives.
Exactly. I know I can mention so many names. No, I don't want people coming for me.
No. You can like mention people that are like, you know, this person is like, this person is on the forefront of this, but this person, especially
educated,
like, especially like you can look at Dr. Joe Pankanda. He's somebody who has been on the forefront of certain issues, being an activist, being like, you know, activist, but he didn't neglect his educational, like his educational goals.
Exactly.
He didn't neglect his personal relationships and all that. So he managed, he still managed to get himself,
you know, where he wants to be.
Yeah, where he wants to be.
Yeah, and very important. At some point, you know, we also want to start families, you know, those things. And unfortunately, activism doesn't pay.
Exactly.
That's the most unfortunate thing.
Yeah, that's very true. So like what, like, okay, what advice would you, okay, give? I think you kind of maybe, included in your previous in your previous response, but how can, like, maybe how can we encourage more youth to actually explore avenues like maybe entrepreneurship, career development alongside their advocacy work?
You know, young people, the most important thing that young people need to realize is that firstly they need to empower themselves. You know, if you are unemployed right now, I know of so many public libraries so many public libraries and institutions around the country that offer free basic computer training. You know, you are grade 10 dropout, you are not computer literate. The first step towards, you know, empowering yourself, go for that course, short course. It's about six weeks or a month or two. You know, go for that short course and see how you then empower yourself firstly. And I always tell people this, you know, there is so much focus and so much emphasis on young people in entrepreneurship and young people should start businesses and etc. But I personally feel that not every single young person can be a businessman or a woman. We all cannot be entrepreneurs, unfortunately.
Exactly.
You understand? So the notion of, you know, young people, all young people should be businessmen and businesswomen, I feel it's totally misconstrued. So for starters, hence why so many young people start businesses and then they end up failing. Even if you start a business in the informal sector, it be a hair salon or a barbershop or whatsoever, at some point you will fail. Starting a business doesn't guarantee automatic success. You still need the business skills, you know. You know, the best business people are educated, they have MBAs, you understand. You need some sort of education, you know, to run a successful business. I'm not talking about you need to have a master's degree to run a business. But just even the basics, you understand, basic business skills, how to run a business, you know. Now with social media at the forefront, you know, social media marketing, how to properly structure your business plan. So the most important thing is try and learn a skill for you, for yourself. Get a skill. Learn a skill. And also you find people that are naturally gifted, people that are talented. Try and discover what you're good at and try and see if you can turn around your talent into something that will then generate income for you. Understand? If you know you're naturally funny, you know, you can create, you know, videos on social media and post them, you understand? People see you, people can get you for shows, book you for shows. If you think that you're good in the kitchen, you know, cook your junkies and sell them somewhere there, you know, where a school is located, you know. Just try and do something.
Yeah.
So the key point for young people right now, I know they're frustrated, I know ABCD, but just try and do something right now. Try and do something right now for yourself.
That's very true. That is so much true. And I think that's one thing that we kind of fail, building or learning a skill. We're just there. And I think this is actually like one of the major, because you have, especially like, so many young people that are graduates, but then they don't know any practical skill.
Goodness, my dear.
So it's
not to throw a shade or something, but you'll find graduates. You'll find graduates. Unfortunately, that's a sad situation.
Yeah.
Because you graduating doesn't mean that you will be employed instantly and automatically. No, you must be employable. Employable in the sense of you need to have certain skills and qualities that a potential employer will use, you know, from you. So you'll find graduates that cannot even properly speak, they cannot even properly address themselves or introduce themselves. Graduates that cannot even properly use a computer to type a letter, to make a PowerPoint presentation. That's a sad reality.
It's a sad reality, like in the end. And it's something that, like, it's a reality. We are living it, and it's there.
So that's why I said, and you know, while you are studying on weekends, you can do something that will earn you that skill or two. You know, volunteering and internship. Internship people only do it because it's a module that needs to be completed at university. But I feel that, you know, graduates or students are not eager enough, you know, to obtain the skills where they are employed as interns, you understand? So the desire should come from yourself as an individual. I mean, if you want to learn something, man, you can do it.
Yeah, and you will get up the opportunity. That opportunity will come your way.
Exactly.
That's very true. That opportunity will come your way. Because, like, you know, as you are studying something, you obviously have career goals. And we must not just... I think one perspective that we have, it's just instilled in our in our minds, even from child, is like, obviously after graduation you get a job in government and then immediately, and then, you know, everything is sorted.
Everything is sorted, you know. Yo, I wish I knew when I was young. I wish I knew what life I had in store for us.
No,
it's not easy, you know. Even in your workplace, you know, you need to constantly push, you know. You need to, you need to perform 200%, you know. Perform, you know, better and better and better and better and better in your next task. Make sure you perform better. And it's not over right now. Even as professionals, you know, they attend, you know, professional development courses, you know, leadership management courses. You know, it's a lifelong learning process, you know. So it's not easy. We all are working on ourselves. We all should be working on ourselves because we should never get comfortable with where we are. We always need to strive for the betterment of ourselves, you know, firstly, and then that of our family members, and then for everyone.
That's very true. That's very true. And I think it was last year I had one of he's an he's an advocate as well,
yeah,
but in the civil society space,
yeah,
on the podcast as well. And he was like, okay, as young people, sometimes you're even at your work, you have been working in that company for even 5 years.
5 years.
And then you are demanding,
promotions, salary increments.
But what have you done for yourself? Have
in
you
that improved, 5 years?
Yeah, in that 5 years.
Exactly.
Have you studied any course?
Yeah.
Have you gotten a driver's license?
Yeah, no.
On what basis?
Exactly.
I went to ask salary increment and all
exactly.
that. And
so you being there... or you being loyal doesn't guarantee an automatic,
yeah,
you know, promotion or salary increment. So people should see, your employer should see, oh, his care is really a valuable asset.
Mm-hmm.
Probably let's give him a salary increment.
Yeah.
And see, okay, he's worthy of that.
That's actually very true. So, like, okay, you spoke as well of mentorship and guidance, which have been the core value or the core, you know, of where you are today as well,
yeah.
The drive of where you are today. So what do you, like, what, how can mentorship and guidance from your experience as an individual, you know, like yourself, help young activists or advocates or people that are actually in the civil society space to, you know, to navigate, you know, their journey toward a holistic development.
Yeah, yeah. You know, mentors are very important because they importantly firstly guide you.
Yeah.
They guide you. You can have mentors in different aspects of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a spiritual mentor, professional, you know, personal level, those things. But mentors are important because they guide you. They sort of give you a template, more or less the same of what they went through.
Mm-hmm.
They share their experiences with you. Experiences, not just success stories, but also failures.
Wow.
So that you can learn from what they did wrong, and so that you can avoid those mistakes that may arise.
Yeah.
So they give you a template in terms of how you need to navigate your professional journey,
yeah,
or how you then navigate your spiritual journey, whatsoever journey you may be on. Guidance, so they guide you in such a way that will make the journey a little bit easy for you.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I always say, you know, at some point in your life, you will experience a problem one day or the other. There will be obstacles.
Yeah.
That's the only way you will learn. Whether you have the most perfect mentor, you know, life will throw its challenges at you. And the challenges are meant to see, okay, whether you can withstand, you know, the pressure and see whether you can actually learn from that.
Yeah.
I from a religious perspective, I always say that, you know, it's only in heaven where you will not have any problem. But as long as you are alive and breathing, and as long as you're walking on your 2 feet, at some point you will experience a problem or two. You will. You can be the richest individual, but you will experience problems at some point.
That's actually very true. And that's something actually that really scares me.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know if the problems that I have experienced, they were the bigger enough.
Yeah,
the problem
know.
Is still coming.
That's the thing, you know, but you know, I'm ready, man. I face a problem. Hang on and see, is it that time again? But sometimes you're just so tired, you know, with this life thing, but you need to push, you know, we need to push. Yeah, that was a nice one.
That's actually true. It scares me for real. It scares me. I'm like, okay, I'm growing and we are doing this thing that in life. What challenge are there that are waiting for me? I'm like, okay, let's just go.
Let's
go with life. You know, okay, so what are coming to a conclusion, obviously. So what are your future aspirations, you know, goals that you have that you'd like to share, you know, just to inspire other people as well?
You know, I my biggest thing is I just want to make an impact, you know, on people's lives, whether through my involvement with youth projects or with my involvement with civil society organizations. I think that's where I really want to make an impact. You know, the other day I was reading something, and then I learned that, you know, sometimes we do things in our everyday life, whether we intend to do it or not, without realizing the impact it has on the lives of other people. You understand? The next person is walking by. The person is greeting you, good morning, sir, and you don't respond because you felt like you woke up from the wrong side of the bed. But when you hear, after a few hours, you heard that person committed suicide, you understand? Or that person was bumped by a car, or that person fell ill.
Yeah.
So, you know, without understanding the things that we do intentionally or not, it has an impact on the lives of other people. And that's what I want to be remembered for. You know, one day, you know, yeah, when I sit down and look back, I just want to see the impact that I've created. Impact in different ways. My future goals, obviously, professionally.
Yeah.
Upgrade myself, you know, studies, you know, obtaining my master's, yeah, hopefully a PhD. Okay. And also, just you know, having a job that, yeah, really makes a difference, you know, in the lives of our people. Like the job I have now, mm, you know, it is very important because it affects, you know, the everyday life of Namibians. Yeah. If I overlook, or if we, the MPs or the researchers, overlook a certain issue,
mm,
that people in Namibia face, it will not be addressed in Parliament, and the responsible ministry will not be able to address the situation at that time.
Yeah.
So I feel, I just want impact, you know. Yeah, I just want to see, yeah, impact, you know. That is my biggest thing.
That's actually good, because it's really good to live way, like when you are living and you have people that,
yeah,
you're like looking at those people, like, yeah, I actually did something.
Yeah, this, yeah.
Or people can come back like, yeah, Hiskia did this for me.
Exactly.
Or Hiskia taught me this, or Hiskia, yeah, once did for our community. And all that. So it's,
you know, since I was grade 8, I also, mm, took part in debating at, you know, at schools. Mm. I was debating at the national level.
Mm.
At some point, I was even selected in the national team.
Okay.
So after completing grade 12, I've been coaching the Masate region, I think, for 3-4 years, mm, the national debate team.
Oh.
Then I went to Hardtop. So I've been coaching Hardtop region since 2014, the, okay, debating club, and societies in schools.
Yeah.
I train the teachers. I coach them. Of course, this is volunteer work.
Yeah.
This is volunteer work that I do, because I'm also passionate about, mm, debating. And just yesterday, I got a letter from, you know, the, mm, former senior education officer in the Hardtop region, Ms. Mm. Enda, mm, you know, where she just expressed, you know, a you see, why am I passionate about it? Her gratitude, yeah, you know, towards what I've done, you know, for the, for the region in terms of debating and making, mm-hmm, sure that learners understand what debating is and take part in debating. So those are the things that I want to leave behind, you,
yeah,
know, making an impact in people's lives, you know. I'm sure the kids will remember me. They always call me coach, you know, when they see me around.
Yeah.
Coach, you,
yeah,
understand. So I'm also a debate coach, you know, volunteer basis, and I absolutely love, you know, doing that.
And that's the life that, you know, that's the life to actually live for.
Yeah.
A life of making an impact.
Impact.
You know, it's really, and those are the things that actually keep us going when people come back and say, I actually thank you for what,
yeah,
you,
yeah,
did.
You understand?
Or thank you for, like, when you receive those calls,
yeah,
you receive those letters.
Exactly.
That was keeps you
going.
Yeah, going.
Keeps you going. You know, when you do community work, and when you work in civil society organizations, mm-hmm, and when you volunteer in youth projects, we are not doing it, you know, so that people can thank us and praise us.
Yeah.
We are doing it because we really want to do it and because we love it.
Yeah.
You understand? But when people express, you know, their gratitude,
yeah,
and how they are appreciative towards,
yeah,
what we are doing,
mm,
then we feel a little bit, you know, valued.
Mm.
And then we keep on pushing and we keep on giving it our best.
Yeah.
So that is why I feel, you know, sometimes people need to say thank you.
Yeah.
Very important.
That's very true. That is so much true. So thank you so much, Hiskia.
Yo,
for your
thank
time.
You so much.
And for, you know, I know this episode is,
yeah,
long overdue.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. We have been postponing literally since last year. Since last year.
Since last year, that is, and we finally did it. So thank you so much. So how can people actually like reach out to you?
LinkedIn, mm-hmm, I'm Hiskia Nashuta.
Yeah.
Send me a DM.
Mm-hmm.
A social media, Facebook, Hiskia Afeni Nashuta. On
Afeni.
IG. My name is Afeni also.
Okay.
You keep on learning things.
I'll keep on finding out new things.
Yeah, new,
okay,
things, yeah. Mm. My name is Hiskia Hosia Afeni Nashuta.
Ah,
yes.
You're a real babu.
I'm a real babu. I'm a Balanto, my girl.
Oh,
I'm a Balanto, yeah.
I see.
Yeah. So on IG, I'm Hiskia_Nashuta. Send me an email also. Small letters, hosia.nashuta@gmail.com.
Okay. So like when people like can like, you know, individual reach out to you as well. You know, I have maybe this pressing issue in my community and I want to bring it forward to
exactly.
For you to do research or to bring it forward. Can people reach out to
you? They can definitely reach out on that. And also, especially if there are people interested in, you know, starting NGOs or civil society organizations, they really don't know how to write a proposal.
Yeah.
You know, I do that for civil society organizations, you know, because the CSOs are very important because they address the issues that people at grassroots levels face and so on. You know, the soup kitchens that are there, you know, the tutoring classes that are there that are offered absolutely for free. You know, unfortunately, people run out of resources. CSOs run out of resources.
Yeah.
And the business communities out there, the individuals where the money is out there, they need to assist CSOs wherever they get. And to the donors also, you know, in Germany, all over the world.
Yeah.
Namibia has so many issues, and I think civil society organizations are doing a good job in addressing the issues that people face. But unfortunately, they do not have all the resources.
Yeah.
And if they don't have all the resources, they get limited in terms of carrying out their role in the different areas. So urging all people out there, assist CSOs out there, young people out there, go volunteer, and let's see how we can make our communities better places.
That's very true. That's so much. So thank you so much. Hiske.
Thank you so much. Is I love any... your platform.
Thank you so
love
much.
Love your platform. You know, you are giving people a platform where they can share their stories and inspire other people.
Yeah.
I like that about you. And you've come such a long way. You've grown. Your interview skills are there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just like your platform. So thank you so much
for having
a sit down with me. And all the best.
Thank you so much. And it's actually good, I think, that you, like, the very first time when we met in his, you know, at Custom. And Roswitha actually always mentioned this, like, Elizabeth, like, the very first time when we met you, it's just this girl, like, you know, from the village or something like that, without not much and all that. But it's when you see kind of, like, growth and you just, so it's really, so thank you so much. So thank you so much.
Yes,
all that you do for the community and all that. And, yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You are an inspiration. Actually,
are you serious?
You are an inspiration, actually.
Wow.
You are.
Wow.
So, and I love that about you. So, yeah. Thank you so much. Anything else that you, like, that you maybe left out that you want to, before we close?
People should also support your platform. You know, the communities are their business communities, NGOs. You need to support. I mean, you are young, you're vibrant. You do the most in terms of giving young people a platform to share the stories through your podcast.
Yeah.
So NGOs out there, people out there, support platform financially, be it materially, just support them.
Exactly. Thank you so much. And thank you so much. Guys, you heard from his come and support the platform. So thank you so much, everyone, for watching up until the end of this episode. And if you really found this episode educational and informative as much as I did, don't forget to like, to subscribe to the channel as well, and you can leave your comments or anything if you want to, or any question that you have, actually just in the comment section. And see you in another episode. And don't forget to actually also look at follow his skill on his social media, which he mentioned previously and all that. So thank you so much, and see you in the next episode. Bye.